Open up your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians. I am going to ask you, please open up your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians. We'll be looking in chapter 4, and we'll be kicking off in verses 13 through 18. I've titled my sermon this morning, Rapture Ready. And I'm not going to lie to you, I did not come up with that title. I sat there, and if you've been paying attention to me and my antics here the last week and a half on Facebook, I've been a busy beaver. Sat there and been working on my car, getting it ready for the car show. Sat there and been trying to please the wife, working on the bathroom, because a happy life is a happy life, or happy wife is a happy life. And it will allow me the opportunity to have the time and the money to work on the car. But anyway, last Sunday after church, I made my way to Lowe's for the fourth time to get the final piece of PVC I needed to hook up Brenda's drain line on her sink, because I really don't like her using my sink. It could be a deep sink, and I wouldn't want her to use it, but anyway, it's not. So I sat there, and as I was pulling into Lowe's, I was behind a black car that was moving ever so slowly. And you already know I'm a very impatient man. If I've got some, thank you very much for that acknowledgement. If I've got a place to go, I am going to go and get there and get it done and get it over with. I needed to get to Lowe's, pick up that one last piece of PVC to go home and put that baby on and sit there and call victory. But this little black car, well, actually the big black car, was impeding my entry into Lowe's. He sat there and he was ever so slow. He finally made his way in far enough to where I could pull off to the right and jump into a parking spot and run into the store because I knew exactly where I needed to go. I went in, I picked up my PVC, I walked out and made it to my truck before the man got out of his car. And it was then that I sat there and actually focused on his car. And on the back window of his car was the question, are you rapture ready? Yes, I felt bad. I can answer that question, yes, I am rapture ready. However, my heart at that point in time may not have shown that. But the question that I'm going to ask you later on, or actually here shortly, is, are you rapture ready? But first, let's sit there and discuss what the rapture actually is. Because there seems to be a lot of confusion, because there are multiple instances talked about in Scripture about the rapture, and we really need to understand what the rapture is. There are two instances that you need to be paying attention to. One is the rapture. The other is the second coming of Christ. They are not the same. You'll find out here shortly. Rapture is the calling home of the church. It's that simple. It is the calling home of the church. The second one that they sit there and get confused with, the second coming of the Christ, well, there's going to be a rapture that follows that too. But it's going to be everybody else. You sit there and read it. Scripture tells you that the seas, the land, and everything will give up its dead. And then they will go to the great white throne of judgment. But we're coming before that. We're going to talk about the rapture this morning. If you're able, I'm going to ask, please stand. Open up your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, we're going to pick up in verse 13. This is a scripture that you will hear more often than not spoken of during a sermon, or excuse me, during a funeral. But hear these words. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. May we go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we again sing your praises and thank you, my Lord, for this day and this opportunity to gather together as a family, arm in arm, hand in hand, and I pray heart in heart in worship of you. Lord, asking, please, that you'll now provide the words necessary to speak your message, that, Lord, you'll provide the hearts ready to receive that word, and that, Lord, your will be done in it all. We thank you, my Lord, again for the opportunity. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this freedom. I pray, Lord, it will bring you the honor and glory at all. And it's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated, please. We are talking here, and again, this is a scripture that is traditionally read around a funeral, but we're talking about the calling home of the church. The church, not these four walls. I hate to say it, some of you may not be in there. I'm being sincere. Some of you might be shocked at who's actually there. But it's anybody and everybody that has accepted Christ as their Lord, Master, and Savior. Nothing to do about your name being on a bulletin or in a bulletin or in a book of records, unless it's the Lamb Book of Life and it needs to be in there, because that's who the church is. Nothing about your monthly income or your tithing statements. Nothing about your church attendance, though I want you here every time the doors are open, because you're not supposed to forsake the gathering of the we talked about it last week. Thank you. But we're talking about the church, both those that are dead and those that are walking the face of the earth. You see, it's Christ's desire, it's the Father's desire, that we will spend eternity with him. And you know, there's a lot of things that goes on in our heads, and even in the early church, because the second coming was talked about, the rapture was talked about, and there was fear. What about these that have preceded us in death? Forgive me, do they become worm dirt? There are those that believe that. But what about them? How can they rise again? How can they walk? How can they be with the Father if they're dead? Well, we see in multiple locations in Scripture, one that I just read to you, and we'll read another one here in a second, the reassurance being provided that first the dead in Christ will be raised again. They will be caught up with the Father. You ever sat there and, wow, I don't have a fascination with death. I sincerely don't. When the Lord tells me it's time to go, it's time to go. Okay? Either way I go, I'm a winner, you know. But I've been amazed at different things that I've seen in my life. You know, when I was, and I'd spent a lot of time in Italy on my first cruise, and took advantage of the tours and did a lot of catacombs walking, you know, walking through a lot of catacombs. And one of the catacombs, they sat there and they showed was this young girl, a child, that had been placed in the catacombs, and they did something special with her embalming, this little baby was old, over 100 years, 150 plus, but yet to look at her, she was like she'd just been laid down. And I was like, wow. Now me, on the other hand, I'm going to be like one of those mummies you find in in Egypt. You know, skin pulled back, teeth, you know, I'm not, why waste the money? You know, because everything I got here, and you'll find this out in a second, it's corruptible. It's not going to make it to heaven. So why not? Why waste the money? You know, something else, God can do something else with it. But anyway, the dead is going to be raised first. And then those of us who are still walking the face of the earth are going to be called up to join him in the air. And it should be a heavenly, well, it will be a heavenly event, but it should be an awesome event. As families are reunited, as loved ones are reunited, as we are first, for the first time, in the presence of God, able to sit there and start our time of worship with the Father. It's going to be exciting. Now, there's a lot of discussion back and forth. In fact, Joe and I had a discussion about it earlier this week. You know, are you pre-trib? Are you post-trib? What are your thoughts are? And, well, I sincerely believe that the rapture is going to take place before the time of tribulation. I am a pre-tribber all day long. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But everything I see in Scripture tells me that the church is going to be called home before the time of tribulation. Yes, definitely, hallelujah, because I am one weak individual. I don't want to face any of that. And I like to think the Father's not going to leave me here to face it anyway. So he's going to call me home. I believe that. Again, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Either way it goes, I'm going home. I'd just rather be pre. Be soon. Yeah, I'd rather be sooner than later. How's that? But don't get this mixed up with the second coming of the Christ. I know I've already said that, but it is two totally different events. Because again, the rapture deals with the calling home of the church. The second coming, Christ is coming back as a conquering king. He is going to clean house. And I do mean that literally and figuratively. He's going to sit there and rid the world of sinful being. He is going to sit there and take the throne as he has promised in his word. Israel ultimately will do what they were called to do. They will be the prophets, the priests, the kings. But that second time, because everybody's going to be raptured, much like everybody's going to have eternal life. It's just going to be smoking or non-smoking. Well, rapture is going to be, are you going to be with the Father? Or are you going to be at the Father's feet on the great white throne being judged for your works? Because to refuse the Christ, to refuse faith, means you have now decided to live and be judged by your works. Hence the great white throne, the reading of all your sins and being judged for them. But here we sit there and see that in 1 Thessalonians, we, the church, are informed that we will be called home. If you sit there and go backwards over to 1 Corinthians, and you don't have to, but write it down, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up in verse 50, and I'll read it for you because I just love reading it. I do, actually. I want you to sit there and understand something, that we will receive that perfect body. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 50, it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised," hear this, "incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, meaning this corruption here and yours, this corruption, this corrupted, this decrepit, this sinful body must put on incorruption. The bad hips, gone. The thoughts that run into your head or pop into your head just out of the blue. And you sit there, it's like, man, where did that come from? Especially when you sit there and start paying attention to it and find out it's quite evil. It seems like the longer we live on the face of this earth, the more evil we get. Then again, there are some youngins out there that are, yeah. But we will take on that sinless body. The corruptible will become incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this mortal must put on immortality. Think about that one for a second. You'll be raised, resurrected, eternal life, immortal. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Rapture brings that new body. Rapture brings incorruption, perfection. Rapture brings with it the immortality, spending eternity with the Father. In his presence. I promise you, it's going to be so much better than a Southern Baptist worship service. Some of you get that joke. Could you imagine just the joy it would be to sit there in metal chairs for eternity while somebody yells at you? No, yeah, it just doesn't happen, huh? But think about being in perfect worship at all times. You know, every Sunday I sit there, well, most every Sunday, I challenge you to sit there and take God by the hand as you walk out these doors into the world to allow God to lead. I'll chastise you and challenge you to sit there and not allow the worship that starts here but should continue out those doors so that when we gather again, it's a continuation, because our walk with Christ is a lifetime, a lifestyle of worship. And we struggle with it daily. This corruptible body just throws all sorts of neat things in the way. Whether it be that wild thought that pops into your head, or whether it be the walking by and smelling something and have memories, you know, or pull you aside. Right now, I can sit there and still smell smoke on me with the smoker, and I'm not supposed to be worried about those ribs in that smoker. They're going to be perfect when I get home. That's why I'm smoking them. But yet, here I am talking about that smoking, and it's now pulling me aside. See, it's not always going to be something filthy and disgusting that can sit there and pull us astray. But we will sit there and have that incorruptible body, not having to sit there and stand back or not be allowed to be in his presence. Here on the face of this earth, we are allowed to be in his presence, but by the blood of God, by the blood of the Lamb. But that incorruptible body, we're right there at his feet, able to live truthfully and sincerely that lifestyle of worship. Rapture ready means you're allowed to do that. Rapture ready means eternity is here. Rapture ready means you're with the Father. But that question that I saw on the back of that car. Man, just a very simple question in big gold letters across the man's rear window. I don't know if he could look out the back of it. I don't really care, to be honest with you. But the message of it, it even got this old sailor in his heart. Are you rapture ready? Because you sit there and go back over to Matthew chapter 4, and we already saw it in 1 Corinthians, and we also saw it in 1 Thessalonians, but over in Matthew chapter 24, there in verse 36, and you mark it, I'll read it to you. It says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The rapture is going to take place, folks. There is nothing that you can do, nothing that you can conceive, nothing possible that can take place on the face of this earth that is going to stop it. God wants His church home with Him. And His church are all His people. It's not going to be a Southern Baptist welcome home convention. It's not even going to be a Baptist welcome home convention. You're going to find people there that you didn't even think knew Christ. You're going to see people not there that you thought for sure were going to be there. You know, I surely thought I was going to see Sister Sue. Oh my goodness, she always sat there and had the best of all foods. And she was always there every time the doors were open. And she sat there and had that bless your heart. And she could just sit there. She could quote chapter and verse. She may not be there, because unless she has that personal relationship with Him. And then likewise, like I said, you're going to see some people there. How did they get in? You're going to see Don Roberts there. How'd he get in? How'd that sailor get in? I know he's a pastor, but surely God would have sat there and filtered and screened him out. He still talks like a sailor at times. He still acts like a sailor at times. He even smells like one at times. Yes, I do. But we don't know when it's going to happen. And we need to be ready. The first thing you need to do in order to be ready for the rapture, to make you rapture ready, is you first have to have that personal relationship with God. That's the very first thing you need to do. Because until you have that relationship, you can't be part of the church. Until you're part of the church, you can't plan on going home with Him. You gotta know Him. Not know His name. Not be able to sit there and identify Him out of a lineup. Even Satan's minions know who Christ is. By sight, sound, smell, word. But they don't have that relationship. They still think they're going to win. They still want to be in charge of their own lives. You got to know Him personally. Let me break it down even further. You have to relinquish full control over your own self and allow Him to be in charge. Is that plain enough? Because that's exactly what salvation is you acknowledging that you're a sinner. Not sarcastically, not whimsically, but acknowledging exactly what you are. No matter your pedigree, no matter your education, no matter your socioeconomic status, no matter your name, you're a sinner. So am I. I'm not just yelling at you, I promise. Lost, doomed for hell. I don't care how moral you think you may be, you're not. Morals are of man. Yeah, that's another story. And they keep changing the story, don't they? Sin is sin. Cut and dry. We're all guilty of it. It runs in our blood. You have to acknowledge that. Sincerely, and then turn to the only one that has ever loved you. Turn to the only one that is pristine and pure. Turn to the only one that not only loves you, but loved you so much so that he willingly stepped down from his throne, took upon himself the filth and the flesh of mankind. The one who willingly separated himself from God the Father and allowed himself, well, actually placed himself on the cross to be crucified. Not for anything that he ever did, but because of your sin. He took your sin. Not just the big ones, not just the purple and pink polka dot ones, not just the closet ones, but all of them. And not just yours, but your neighbors, your children's, your strangers, your enemies, mine. Took them and put them on himself. Become our propitiation, dying in our place. And how do you accept that gift? By calling out to him and repenting, acknowledging your sinfulness and turning to him, relinquishing full control of your life and giving him full control of it. Then, and only then, will you be rapture ready. But it doesn't stop there. Because I'm going to throw the next one in on you. You don't know when he's coming. You don't know the day. You don't know the time. And yes, I want you all, not just you, but I want all, just like God wants all, to be rapture ready. The question is, what are you going to be doing when he comes back? Just food for thought. What are you going to be doing when he comes back? Two in the field, one gone. Two in the making grain, one gone. What are you going to be doing? It would really, I'm not going to use that word. It'd be pretty bad. You get caught with your pants down. Not living a life to bring God the honor and glory. Back to that relationship. The moment we enter that relationship with the Father, we should be living a lifestyle of worship to the Father. Again, no, it doesn't mean the hair coat. It sincerely doesn't. But it does mean doing everything to bring him honor and glory. Raising your children and introducing them to God. Interacting with your neighbors in such a way that you share Christ's love with them. And I mean, some of us have some wonderful neighbors. We really do. Some of us really have some special neighbors. And I'm being quite sarcastic on that special. But living a life to share Christ with them too. Living a life so that when people see you, they don't see you, but they see God reflecting from you. Oh, it doesn't mean you're walking around, little wings and a little halo. No, it doesn't mean that. But it means doing everything to bring God the honor and glory. April 15th, paying taxes. Thank you, Lord. You allow me the ability to pay taxes. Sit there and thank you, Lord. I know I am sore. Man, this corruptible body, you guys say Arthur is visiting and he just wants to stay long term, but yet you're able to get up still as much as it hurts, but yet you're able to sing God's praises. Or you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. You've got this issue, you've got that issue, that other issue and this, but yet you're able to sit there and sing God's praises through it all because he's given you the ability and strength to get you through it. Or you're just able to sit there and stop and maybe see something that has been there forever. And it's the first time you've ever laid eyes on it and realized it was there. And you're able to sit there and say, oh, Lord, just thank you. This last Thursday, I sent a picture out. I was being quite sincere. I was sitting there and I got home from work. I can't remember what I was doing. We got done with dinner and it was just like, let me walk outside. And it was like, oh, this is beautiful. I ran inside real quick, got my phone in case someone called, warmed up my cup of coffee. I went out to the back stoop, sat down. Oh my goodness gracious. And started drinking a cup of coffee and Lord, thank you just for allowing me this opportunity to lay witness to this. I even sent that picture to Brenda and said, hey, come on out and join me. She didn't get it apparently until Friday. Yeah, I wasn't there for some odd reason. But doing everything to bring God the honor and glory. And please, I'm not trying to put myself up as an example, because that was just the 1 second. The other 59 of that minute, you don't want to be anywhere around them. But are you rapture ready? Do you know Christ is your Lord, Master, and Savior? If you don't, today's the day you can come to know him. You're not promised tomorrow. If you hear him call, answer him. Because each time you reject him, your heart becomes that much harder. And if you want to see how hard a heart can get, just look at the world around you. Answer that call. And if you have accepted him, make sure you're living a life so that when he calls you, you're going to be ready and excited and not saying, oh, crap, how am I going to explain this? Are you rapture ready? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this morning again thanking you so very much for the promises that you have laid out in your word. Lord, reminding us that you are going to call us home. That, Lord, we are not worm dirt. Lord, we are not destined to die and just stay here in the graves that start to populate the countryside. But Lord, your desire is that we will spend eternity with you, physically, literally. And that, Lord, there is going to be a time, and that time is coming sooner every day that goes by, that you will be calling us home. I pray, Lord, everybody that is within my voice hearing, Lord, whether it be here within the church walls or whether it be on the internet or wherever, it's my prayer that they personally have that relationship with you and they are thus rapture ready. And if they are not, I pray that they hear that small voice calling them to repentance, calling them into that relationship, calling them into their need for you. And Lord, just let them call out to you. That's all it is. Man acknowledging their sinfulness and their need for a Savior. And there's only one, and that Savior is you. Let them call out to you, Lord, please. And Lord, if there's one that knows you, but yet they have the weight of the world on you, Lord, they just got so much going on and they're just getting just weighed down daily, unable to see the joy that is being in that relationship with you. Lord, let them see you there with your arms outstretched. Lord, let them see you there as you're right beside them carrying the load. And Lord, let them be refreshed because they know that you are there with them. But Lord, it's my prayer that everyone will be rapture ready. I thank you for the day. I thank you for your word. And it's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen.